Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya wa mursaleen. Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Brothers and sisters, first and foremost, we would like to thank everyone for coming out to the lecture, A Brief Glimpse at the Life of the Noble Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our speaker today, for those who are unfamiliar with him, and I see a lot of the brothers are familiar with him, but our speaker is Abu Mujahid Farid Abdullah, who is a graduate from Jamia Muhammad bin Saud Islamia and the resident Imam at Masjid Al-Mu'min in Los Angeles, California. Inshallah, it is our hope that we benefit from the speech today, or the address that he will deliver to us today. Before we begin, we'd like to just remind the ikhwah wa akhwat to keep the place as clean as possible. Those who are drinking coffee and tea, make sure you throw your cups away or dispose of them in a proper place. And those sisters with children, we ask that you deal with them in an appropriate manner or appropriate fashion, inshallah. And without further ado, we start the program. As-salamu alaykum.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Tonight we'd like to get a quick glance at some of the various aspects of the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is all it is, nadhratun abira. It's a real quick overview, and this is so because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a rahmah for both men and jinn, for all humanity from his time until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits the earth and what is upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. There has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. It pains him. He feels difficulty concerning anything that is troublesome to you. Harisun alaykum. He is extremely cautious and careful for all that benefits you. Bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. And to the believers, merciful and compassionate. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him in the Quran, and in his description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a recognition of the bounties that accompany His coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse in the Quran, in Surah Jumu'ah, the second verse, it is He who has raised amongst the unlettered people a messenger from amongst themselves, reciting to them His signs and purifying them from all types of unbecoming characteristics, and to teach them the book and al-hikmah. To teach them the book, that is the Quran, and al-hikmah. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, in his work Al-Risala, he said, I received from the people of knowledge that I met, that what is intended by al-hikmah here, wisdom, is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions the Quran, and he taught them his sunnah as well. And before this, they were in clear misguidance. This year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the blessings that we have in him is the same blessing, initial, basic, fundamental principle that we find amongst all of the Anbiya, except that with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is an increase on what the other messengers came with. According to Abi Huraira, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنا أولى الناس بعيسى ابن مريم في الدنيا والآخرة والأنبياء إخوة لعلات أمهاتهم شتى ودينهم واحد. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, I have a better right amongst the people to Isa ibn Maryam in this world and in the life to come. The Anbiya are brothers. They have different mothers. Ummahatuhum shatta. According to the Ahlul Ilm, this expression from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the different types of legislations that they were given. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَدِينُهُمْ wahid, but their deen is the same, according to the Ahlul Ilm, what is intended here is at-tawheed. They are called to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. There was no difference amongst them in this area. Each prophet that was sent for the guidance of humanity, the first emphasis and the most important thing that they invited human beings to, that they invited the jinns to, was that they should be subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in the Quran this reality. In Surah Hud, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ أَلِيمٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nuh, He mentions in the Quran, we send Nuh to his people, that truly I am a clear warner to you. And what was the first command that he directed his people to adhere to? That you should worship none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely, I fear for you the punishment of a painful day. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. And to the Ad we send their brother Hud. قَالِ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity worthy of worship other than Him. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا مُفْتَرُونَ. The only thing that you do is to invent lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِلَى ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. And to the Thamud we send Salih. And he said, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. My people, worship Allah. Do not worship anybody else. Do not worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who raised you up from the earth and established you in it. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. So turn to him in repentance. Seek his forgiveness, turn to him in repentance. Surely he is near, willing and able to answer. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. And to the people of Madian we send Shu'ayb. قَالِ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. O my people, worship Allah. You have nothing deserving to be worshipped other than beside Him. وَلَا تَنْقُسُوا الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ مُحِيطٍ. He says, my people, do not diminish the scales and the weight. I see you in a state of goodness, but I fear for you the punishment of an encompassing day. This is if you disobey Allah and you turn to worshiping other than Him. The first command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Quran, Ya أَيُّوَ النَّاسِ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O mankind, worship Allah, your Lord who created you and those before you, so that you may receive righteousness. The Prophet ﷺ's greatest mercy to us is that he taught us tawheed, that Allah alone is supposed to be the object of our worship. And whatever we do in terms of ibadah, acts of worship, should be directed to Allah alone, nobody else, no one else. Sincerely for Allah alone, no show. Hoping to get into Jannah one day after submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, one of the greatest blessings that he left for us is this understanding. And for this reason, whenever he sent out a group of scholars from amongst the Sahaba, one of the first things that he would emphasize, look, prioritize in the message that you give to the people. Prioritize. According to Ibn Abbas, he said, لَمَّا بَعَثَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُعَاذًا نَحْوَ الْيَمَنِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said to him, إِنَّكَ تَقْدُمُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. You are coming to a people who have been given scripture before you. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructing him as to who his audience was so he could prepare himself to address them. You are coming to these people, they have been given scripture and knowledge before you. In other words, prepare yourself. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُوَحِّدُوا اللَّهِ. But your priority, when you give your dawah, the priority should be, he says here, let the first thing that you call them to, let it be tawheed. That Allah alone should be worshipped. And that you should set up no one in your lives equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That subservience should be done and directed to Allah alone. This should be the priority of your dawah. So that people would understand in times of difficulties, if you need some help, you call out to Allah. When circumstances become straitened, you don't go to a grave for someone who is dead and start seeking help there. You call out on Allah. You call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the money is not right and you need some increase, you turn to the one who has malakut as-samawati wal-ard biyadihi, the one who has sovereignty and dominion over the heavens and the earth, and you call out to him. One of the people once said to one of the Salaf, they said, look, you are going to teach the people what we're telling you, or we're going to cut off your sustenance. He looked at him, he says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. He says, in the sky is what where your sustenance comes and what you have been promised. So do what you will, Allah is in charge. They had an understanding from the Prophet ﷺ of this principle. So here, one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ gave us in his da'wah is this particular premise. Look, if you need some assistance, don't put no charms on your body. Don't start hanging no charms around your neck with these inscriptions, seeking help. No! Tawakkal ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut. Depend on the living one who shall never die. That's who you want to put your trust in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, he says, فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ, if they know this, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمِهِمْ وَلَيْلَتِهِمْ. If they understand this principle, that Allah is the objective, and that He is the goal after which we strive, He is the one that we're trying to please. If you understand this, if you understand that your ibadah, your worship, no matter what type of worship it is, whether it's in terms of our i'tiqad, our belief system, how we believe, that it is supposed to be directed to Allah and the way Allah taught us. If they understand these things, then teach them about salah. But if they don't have the foundation, then all the other things will be of no consequence. So one of the blessings that we have in the personality of the Prophet ﷺ is that he emphasized the foundation and the basis of the call, Tawheed, worshipping Allah alone. Worshipping Allah alone and committing and having no associates with Him. When we look into the life of the Prophet ﷺ, we see that he was a rahmah without any doubt, a blessing, and a kind, gentle, affectionate, loving, caring human being. Sometimes you look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after you've read about the other anbiya, and then you think about what the Prophet ﷺ says. He says, I am the leader of all of the children of Adam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is no boast. You sit back and you think, look, we had Ibrahim ﷺ. You had Isa ﷺ. You had Nuh ﷺ. You had Musa ﷺ. You had Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, those of firm resolve. But the imam of them all will be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we recognize that, you sit back and you reflect on it and you begin to realize the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah. That we have Allah's messenger, the seal of all anbiya, of all the rusul, the imam of the mursaleen, the imam of the messengers. We have his teachings. If we reflect on that, you begin to say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How much has Allah blessed this ummah? And how little do we show thanks for this barakah that we have? We choose all other types of lifestyles over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here we have a look into one of the events in his life. Muawiyah bin Hakam al-Sulami, he said, I was praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذْ عَطَسَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. praying the salat, and one of the brothers sneezed. Achoo. So he said, I said, Yarhamukallah. He's in salat. Yarhamukallah. He says, Faramani al-qawm yabsarihim. People started to look at me. In other words, you were in salat, which you don't say in Yarhamukallah. He said, Fakultu wa thukla ummiya. So he says, may my mother be bereaved. He's in salah. Ma sha'nukum tandurun ilayya. What's wrong with you all looking at me? Now he's in salah. Alright? He doesn't know any better. He says, فَجَعَلُوا يَضْرِبُونَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَفْخَادِهِمْ. So they started to hit on their thighs. In other words, keep quiet. Why are you talking in salah? He says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُمْ يُصَمِّتُونَنِي. So when I saw them trying to keep me quiet, in other words, he really intended to say something. He said, وَلَكِنِّي سَكَتْ. But I kept my mouth closed. He says, فَلَمَّا صَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ concluded his prayer. He says, فَبِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي. He says, may my father and my mother be a ransom for him. May my father and my mother be a ransom for him. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْضُهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. He said, I've never seen a teacher before him or after him better in his method of instruction than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي. He says, I swear by Allah, he did not verbally abuse me, he did not hit me, he did not revile me. The only thing he said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ لَا يَسْلَحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنْ كَلَامِ النَّاسِ. The only thing the Prophet ﷺ did was pull the brother to the side and he said to him, this prayer, there is no place for it of the normal talk of the people. إِنَّمَا هُوَ تَسْبِيحُ وَالتَّكْبِيرُ وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, the only thing here is that you glorify Allah, you extol Him and you recite the Qur'an. When Muawiyah bin Hakam al-Sulami, he saw the Prophet's lenience, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started to open up. Because he saw in front of him a person that was approachable. A person that you could go to and really talk to. He was the leader of the ummah, but he wasn't stuck up. This was someone, man, who had some adab. He had good mannerisms. And this was someone you could approach to find out something if you wanted to find out. If you were ignorant, he would teach you in the best manner. So he opened up. And he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Inni hadithu ahdin bi jahiliyyah. He says, I'm new. I've just come out of ignorance. Yani, just come into Islam. وَقَدْ جَاءَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. And Allah came with Islam. وَإِنَّ مِنَّ رِجَالًا يَأْتُونَ الْكُهَانِ. And there are some men from amongst us who go to these fortune tellers. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, he says, فَلَا تَأْتِهِمْ. He says, don't go to them. Now we have Muslims who do that in this day and time. We have Muslims opening up and they got their horoscopes and they're reading, well, I'm Leo, I'm Sagittarius, let me see what the fortune is for the day. Okay? Today you're Leo, okay, you're going to get some good fortune today. You're going to find a whole lot of money in your wealth. It's going to be a good blessed day. You're Sagittarius, the same thing. Alright, and you're reading this, and don't let it happen that someone give you some money on that, even if it's $2. Okay? This is something that is unacceptable. They have people who do this. They play on your deen. They set themselves up. Okay? They have the jinns working with them. You lose something. Can't find it. The jinn probably stole it in the first place. Comes and tells him, okay, look, it's over here. So he goes to his mumbo jumbo and he comes and says, okay, look, you do this, you go and slaughter a sheep and mention the name of such and such and you go and I'll tell you. So he goes through this ritual of slaughtering something in other than Allah's name, commits major shirk, come back, and he tells him it's behind the door. He goes behind the door and sure enough, there it is. So he believes that this person knows the unseen and the future. A lot of people have been tricked by that. But these are devils working with the devils. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't go to them. He says, وَمِنَّا رِجَالٌ يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. There are people amongst us who have these superstitious beliefs. That if a bird, you come out of your home, and a bird flies in your right, alhamdulillah, it's a blessed day. Alhamdulillah. You come out of your home, and the bird happens to go to your left, a'udhu billah. You turn back home, you put your luggage back up, and no going out today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ يَجِدُونَهُ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّهُمْ. This is something traditionally that you become accustomed to, you find it in your hearts, but don't let this turn you away from what you were supposed to do. In this society, they have similar things. If you go on some of these high-rising buildings, you will not find the number 13 on many of them. From 12 to 14. Now this is supposed to be an advanced society. But the number 13 is supposed to be bad luck. Okay? Don't let it be on Friday the 13th. Okay? People still believe that if you have a black cat running in front of you, it's a'udhu billah. All of those superstitious things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, pay no attention to that. He says, and there are men from amongst us who used to draw lines. And this is supposed to have some mystic indication. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَانَ نَبِيٌّ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ يَخُطُّ فَمَنْ وَافَقَ خَطُّهُ فَذَاكَ. A prophet from amongst the prophets of Allah used to do this. So if you can have the same knowledge that he had, then go ahead. In other words, this is not possible, so leave it alone. Because he was receiving revelation and you are not. So leave it alone. This person goes on and he says, I had a servant who used to take care of my sheep. Near to Uhud, Bil-Jawaniya. This is also near to Uhud, in Medina. He said, so one day I came, and a wolf had taken one of the sheep. And I'm a man just like any other man from among the children of Adam. And so I became angry. And I took my hand and I slapped her. And then I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he thought that this was something extremely grave that I did. So I said, Ya Rasulullah, should I just let her go? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bring her to me. So I came with her to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam questioned her. And he said, Ayn Allah? Where is Allah? Where is Allah? She said, في السماء, يعني فوق السماء, that Allah is above the sky. Now, what I want you to pay attention to is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, if this lady's statement was incorrect, he would have corrected her. One of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's responsibility is tabligh, to convey the message. And the Ahlul Ilm, they agree that ta'khiru al-bayan and waqt al-haja la yajuz. To delay explaining and clarifying the message at a time where it is most needed is not permissible. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this statement, kept quiet about it, and went on and says, "Who am I?" He said, "You are the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "A'tiqha fa innaha mu'mina." Let her go because she is a believer. This narration was collected by Muslim in Kitab al-Masajid, the book dealing with the masjids. This particular belief is foreign, actually, amongst many of the Muslims in this day and time. You hear Muslims saying, well, you know, Allah is everywhere. And you say, well, was this the belief of Abu Bakr? Because when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, and Umar came into the masjid upset, and he started saying, whoever says Muhammad ﷺ has passed away, I will take this and take his head off. And Abu Bakr came in, he went in and he saw the Prophet ﷺ, he looked at him, removed the cloth, bent down and kissed him on his forehead. And he said to him, Tibta hayyin wa mayyita. Says, you are sweet whilst you are alive, and you are sweet whilst you are dead. Then he came out, and Omar is up there upset, talking. Abu Bakr says, Ijlis, sit down. Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah fi as-sama'i hayyun la yamut. Whoever has worshipped Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then no, Muhammad has passed away. But whoever worshipped or worships Allah, then know that Allah is above the sky, living and shall never die. Was this the aqidah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the belief system of Umar ibn al-Khattab? Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, وَيْلٌ لِدَيَّانِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ دَيَّانِ السَّمَاءِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Woe to the judges of this world when they stand before the judge who is above the sky on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Was this the aqidah of Ibn Mas'ud? No! Ibn Abbas, no, all of the athar are clear. But it has become a common practice amongst the Muslims to believe Allah is everywhere. Because of certain verses in the Quran that have been misinterpreted. He is closer to you than your jugular vein. How did they understand this? According to Ibn Kathir, he says this refers to the angels. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ. The two angels, to your right and your left, vigilant. The others amongst the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah said this refers to Allah's knowledge. Nevertheless, people have gone way out. Some of them said, look, all you see is Allah. And in their poetry, Mallahu, what is Allah? Mal kalbu wal khinziru illa ilahuna. They went so far to say, what is a pig and a dog other than our Lord? Because all of it are expressions of divinity. And this belief that Allah is in everything and everywhere came into the Islamic community after the period of the Khulafa with Jahm ibn Safwan. And it has gained popularity, so much so that this is the only thing that the people believe most of the time. We have a narration dealing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the things we see, he was truly merciful. Refined sentiments. Anas ibn Malik, he said, we entered upon Abi Saif. This was the blacksmith. Abi Saif al-Qayn, yani al-Haddad. And كان ذئرا لإبراهيم. يعني زوجته كانت ترضع إبراهيم ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. His wife was the one who nursed the Prophet's son صلى الله عليه وسلم, إبراهيم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took Ibrahim, his little baby, and he kissed him, started to smell him. Any of the parents who have a newborn, you know how you do it, right? You smell his toes, the baby's the girl's feet, you kiss them on the forehead, you go around the ear, you go, it's your baby, right? This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, his baby. It says here, the second time we entered upon him, وَإِبْرَهِيمْ يَجُودُ بِنَفْسِهِ. Ibrahim at this time was dying. Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at this time was passing away. We've already seen the love and affection that he had for his baby, his little boy. Now, this time, they entered upon Ibrahim, but this time, they found him in the throes of death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him. فَجَعَلَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَذْرِفَانِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his baby, and the tears started to drain down his cheeks. Abdul Rahman saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this state, and he says, "Anta, ya Rasulullah," says, "you, O Messenger of Allah." In other words, you showing this type of sentiment. The Prophet's response, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ya ibn Auf, innaha rahma." Ibn Auf, O son of Auf, this is mercy. Which you see in this expression, it is not something that is unmanly. This is something, it is an indication that Allah has placed mercy in your heart. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And then the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنِ تَدْمَعْ, that the eyes shed tears. وَالْقَلْبُ يَحْزَنْ, and the heart feels sadness. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا, but we will only say that which is pleasing to our Lord. وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمِ لَمَحْزُونُونَ, and say, surely Ibrahim, he's looking at his baby, with your parting, your leaving us, we're sad. The Prophet ﷺ was an example then of a rounded personality. A rounded personality. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah once said, this was after Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was incarcerated. He said, we came one day and we were confused about something that we had heard. Here it is, there was the Shaykh, when his child passed away, he started laughing. Alright. Apparently this was an indication that he was pleased with Allah's decree. So we went to the Shaykh because this was a problem for us. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said this person's heart was small. It had only one place in it to be pleased with Allah's decree, but it had no place for mercy in that sentiment. Whereas the heart of the Prophet ﷺ was big enough to encompass both things. The Prophet ﷺ was not only in this way in respect to human beings. When you look into his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, you see an individual who was concerned not only about human beings, but also about animals. Also about animals. Subhanallah. Abdul Rahman narrates from his father, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said, we were on a journey once with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he left his place. And he went to take care of some of his needs. And there was a bird And we took the chicks, two of them. And this bird came flapping its wings in a real excited manner. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. And he says here, who has deprived this bird of her chicks? Who has done this? Ruddu waladaha ilayha. Give them back to her. Don't disturb her in this manner. Don't do this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even an animal was to be treated in a certain way. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once saw the mound for the ants, and someone had burnt it to destroy the ants. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it is not becoming for anyone to punish with fire except the one who created fire. Yani, really, when you look into the Prophet's life sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have an example, Ibn Umar. He passed by some boys, some young boys. You know how mischievous some of the young boys are, right? They used to be like that also in those days. Some of the boys from Quraysh, they had tied up a bird, right? They know they were doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing. And they were, every arrow they got, they would shoot it at it. And if they missed it, they would give the person who owned the bird something. And Ibn Umar came by, and they just scampered away. They know they were not doing something that was right. So Ibn Umar, he says, من فعل هذا? Who did this? لعن الله من فعل هذا. May Allah curse the person who did this. إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن من اتخذ شيئا فيه روح غرضا. إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن من اتخذ شيئا فيه روح غرضا. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has cursed the individual who takes any living thing and uses it for target practice. So you take an animal off the street and you just want to think, oh man, this ain't no human being. We could treat it the way we want to treat it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us no. And we know what a la'na is. La'na means a supplication from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you distant and away from His mercy. Al-ib'adu wa tardu. And rahmatillah, to be distant and to be kept away from Allah's mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know how the people used to treat them in Mecca, right? They used to treat the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so badly. I mean, really. Some of the sisters used to be beaten, one of them, until her eye came out. Just from being beaten in her face. They used to take khabbab. And they would put fire to his flesh. So that he would give up his deen. If you've ever been in Mecca and you've seen the rocks, volcanic-like rocks, and you think about Bilal being tied up and dragged over those stones, sharp stones. And he's saying, Ahad, Ahad. Only Allah should be worshipped. Only Allah should be worshipped. And you think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to pray in front of the Kaaba. And the people come upon him and beat him, and Abu Bakr comes to his rescue. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Are you going to kill a man because he has come to you and say that our Lord is Allah? And they fall upon Abu Bakr and take their sandals and beat him in his face. And the people took him away, having no doubt that he will not live. And when he gets up, the first thing he questions, Aina Rasulullah, Aina Rasulullah. Where is Allah's Messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aina Rasulullah. The people used to treat the Muslims in a way that we can only imagine. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ta'if, hoping that perhaps the people there would accept his da'wah. Perhaps someone would listen and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, هل أتى عليك يوم, was there a day that has come upon you, أشد من يوم أحد, more severe than the day of Uhud? Uhud was a time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had the armor that he was wearing, the metal embedded in his cheekbones. In his cheekbones. Okay? His tooth was broken. They had to bite it out. One of the companions, he pulled out one of the circles, his tooth came out. He pulled out the next one, his other tooth came out. This was a day when the Prophet ﷺ looked around him and he saw there's a Sahaba from amongst the Ansar. This one was killed, this one was killed, this one was killed. Looked around, people were mutilated, hands off. People with their nose cut off, their ear mutilated, their insides taken out. Was there a day, O Messenger of Allah, that came upon you more difficult than this time? Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there was a time when I presented myself to Ibn Abd Yalil, Ibn Abd Kulal. This was the chief of Thaqif, Ta'if. He says, فَلَمْ يُجِبْنِي إِلَى مَا أَرَتْ. They did not respond to me the way I wanted them to respond. They didn't do this. We know in the books of Sirah what they did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how they treated him. They tortured him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves. He says, فَانْطَلَقْتُ وَأَنَا مَهْمُومٌ عَلَى وَجْهِ. I left and I was in this state of anxiety. He says, فَلَمَا اسْتَفِقْ إِلَّا بِقَرْنِ ثَعَالِبِ. And I didn't really gain my composure until I got to the miqat of the people of Najd. Way out, walking for miles. Because the people would not accept Allah's deen. Sad that these people would not accept guidance. Says here, whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in this state, he said, I raised up my head and I saw a cloud. It had came. The cloud came and it had given me shade. It had come and given me shade. And I looked in it and I saw Jibreel. And Jibreel called out to me. He says, Inna Allah Azza wa Jal qad sami'a qawla qawmika. Allah has heard the response of your people, the words of your people. وَمَا رَدُّ عَلَيْكَ, and the way they responded to you. وَقَدْ بَعَثَ إِلَيْكَ مَلِكَ الْجِبَالِ, and He has sent to you the angel in charge of the mountains. لِتَأْمُرَهُ بِمَا شِئْتَ فِيهِمْ, so that you may command him whatever you see fit in respect to these people. Now, we have the Messenger. He has just gone through all of that. Now he has the opportunity to take revenge. Allah sent Jibreel, send the angel in charge of the mountains, yeah, Muhammad. Who do you want? The Prophet ﷺ says, فَنَادَانِي مَلَكُ الْجِبَالِ. He says, the angel in charge of the mountains called out to me. وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيَّ and gave me the greetings of peace. ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. O Muhammad, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ سَمِعَ قَوْلَ قَوْمِكَ. Allah has heard the response of your people. وَأَنَا مَلَكُ الْجِبَالِ. And I am the angel in charge of the mountains. وَقَدْ بَعَثَنِي رَبُّكَ إِلَيْكَ. Allah, your Lord has sent me to you that you may command me whatever you want me to do. And if you will, I will cause the two mountains to crush them all. The Prophet ﷺ, his response was, بَلْ أَرْجُوا أَنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. My hope is not to destroy these people, not that any harm should come to them. It is my hope that Allah shall bring out of their loins a group of individuals that shall worship Allah and associate nothing with Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers and sisters, was an example for us. Was an example for us under all circumstances as to how we are to conduct ourselves. Alayhi salatu wasalam. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up sunan, certain principles. We will find no change in these sunan. And one of the things that we are promised is that if you adhere to Allah's deen, in tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. If you aid Allah's deen, that is, adhere to it, Allah shall assist you and He shall make your feet firm. The people during the time of Hudaybiyah, during this time period, Ibn Abbas mentions something and it's worth looking into, because it deals with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how the people viewed him. Ibn Abbas says that Abu Sufyan ibn Harb informed him. He said that Heraclius sent for him and a group of people who were amongst the Quraysh. They were merchants in Sham, up in Syria, that direction. And this was during the time when there was the treaty of Hudaybiyah. This was the sixth year after the Hijrah. And this was the period where Abu Sufyan and the disbelievers from amongst the Quraysh, they had gone to Sham. And so Heraclius called them to come and meet with them. And around him he had the nobles of the Roman Empire. And so he invited them, and he called for someone to interpret. And he looked around and he saw them. He says, who is closest to you in lineage? Which of you is closest to that man in lineage? The man who claims to be a prophet, which of you? So Abu Sufyan says, أَنَا أَقْرَبُهُمْ نَصَبًا. I am the closest to him. So Heraclius says, أَدْنُوهُ مِنِّي, bring him close to me. And so They did this. Then he says, قَرِّبُوا أَصْحَابَهُ. Says, now bring his companions also. فَجْعَلُوهُمْ عِنْدَ ظَهْرِهِ. And put them right behind his back. And then he said to the interpreter, say to them, إِنِّي سَائِلٌ هَذَا. Should I pause? Pause for a minute.
Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we'll pray and continue the program after that. If anybody has any questions, then we would prefer that you write your questions down and send them up to the table. And inshallah, we can get those questions answered. Make sure that there are questions that are pertaining to the topic. Make sure.